You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tonight at 7, it's Ken Rudin, political junkie, with sharp attacks on the media by Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton's speech on Donald Trump's foreign policy statements. It's been a lively week on the campaign trail. Lots to talk about with Ken Rudin tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
First, in the ongoing political saga that is the 2016 presidential race, we've come a long way since this conversation between CNN's Jake Tapper and U.S. Speaker Paul Ryan from back in May.
You have a presumptive nominee, Donald Trump. Will you support him?
Well, to be perfectly candid with you, Jake, I'm just not ready to do that at this point. I'm not there right now. And I hope to, though, and I want to. But I think what is required is that we unify this party.
As of yesterday, Paul Ryan is at that point. He wrote in the Janesville Gazette that he does plan to vote for Donald Trump.
With Ryan seen as one of the most prominent holdouts in endorsing Trump, where does the party go from here?
And has the average Republican voter already rallied around Trump for president? We want to hear from you. Are you a Republican who supports Trump, or are you waiting to see how the convention shakes out this summer? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
Joining us to talk about Paul Ryan, Donald Trump, and just where the GOP is headed is James Wigderson. He's a weekly columnist for the Waukesha Freeman, reporter for Watchdog.org, and a contributor to Right Wisconsin and the MacIver Institute. James, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So, James, why do you think that Paul Ryan decided at this particular point in time to back Paul Ryan? He's been holding out for weeks.
Well, I'm going to go back to Paul Ryan's statement about how he just wasn't ready at that time to endorse Donald Trump. And I'm going to take the cynicism out of that statement for a second and just say he was probably sincere when he said that. You know, you go through your five stages of grief. Well, you go through your five stages of acceptance of Donald Trump, and you finally got to the point where it was acceptance. I don't think that there was any grand bargain or any great compromise that was reached between Paul Ryan and Donald Trump. It just got to the point where the question of Ryan endorsing Trump became bigger than why he would endorse Trump.
So when Paul Ryan met with Donald Trump before this decision to endorse him, it seemed as though maybe there would be some sort of meeting in the middle, some sort of trade-off, if you will, maybe seeing that Donald Trump would meet Paul Ryan, that Paul Ryan could extract some concessions from Donald Trump. Did anything like that seem to happen?
I don't believe so. I certainly haven't seen anything from the Trump side of the equation that would indicate that. And Ryan's op-ed seems to focus more on the fact that if we have a Republican president in the White House, that it would just make it easier to get bills passed. It doesn't necessarily say that Trump has signed on to any specific legislation. And remember, the House is working on a program for what happens after November if a Republican wins the White House. And that program hasn't been announced yet. So there's nothing quite ready for Trump to even endorse. So it didn't seem like that there was any sort of agreement. It just seemed like that Ryan finally decided it was time.
In his piece, Paul Ryan did mention a number of things, tax reform, reforming the tax code, health care to replace Obamacare, foreign policy. So maybe that agenda has not been released, but I mean, certainly he could have gotten Donald Trump's or tried to get some of Donald Trump's agreements on where he wanted to go with that. Do you think that was the sort of thing that was discussed? Do you think they might have some sort of implicit agreement?
I don't think there's as so much of an agreement as there might be a sense of a general direction. But remember, Trump has had about four different opinions on Obamacare, certainly a number of opinions on tax reform, and it's hard to pin him down on any issue. So holding Trump accountable for anything that he might have said in one meeting with Paul Ryan, if that meeting had been that productive, then Ryan would have announced his endorsement before now.
I mean, I guess seen another way, do you think Paul Ryan had any choice but to endorse Donald Trump?
I think it would be nearly impossible for the Speaker of the House not to endorse the candidate that his party nominates. And I think that's the situation that Ryan was in. It's not the situation that Ryan wanted to be in, but it would be just nearly impossible to go against the entire Republican Party when you are supposed to be the leader of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives.
What about this group of Republicans that is still holding out? Huffington Post has a list that they're keeping, and I think still on the list you have George W. Bush, Jeb Bush, Mitt Romney. So there are still some high-profile figures out there.
Yeah, I keep emailing the Huffington Post to put me on the list. They haven't done it yet. I don't think that you're ever going to be able to reach that group of people. I think it's gotten to the point where the fundamental questions about whether or not you can trust Donald Trump to be in the White House with the Never Trump crowd, with the remaining part of the Never Trump crowd, just makes it impossible for them to come over to the other side. I don't think that you'll see Jeb Bush or Mitt Romney come over and endorse Trump, especially after the statements they've made publicly.
We're talking with James Wigderson right now, weekly columnist for the Waukesha Freeman, contributor to the MacIver Institute, talking about Paul Ryan's decision to vote for Donald Trump, to endorse Donald Trump. And the Associated Press recently spoke with Paul Ryan about that decision. They asked him why he did it, and here's what he had to say.
I really didn't feel any pressure other than my goal is to make sure that we're unified so that we're at full strength in the fall so that we can actually win the election. This, to me, is about saving the country and preventing a third progressive liberal term, which is what the Clinton presidency would do.
And James, Paul Ryan, his stature within the Republican Party, he's by and large seen as the intellectual heavyweight of the Republican Party, a torchbearer. He references Lincoln when he's talking about who might become president quite a lot. So what does this do, do you think, if anything, to that stature he's got?
Well, I don't think that it affects his stature too much, because Ryan has also said that he is going to continue to criticize Trump when he needs to. He again took a moment to criticize Trump again today about the way Trump was talking about the judge that's involved in the case involving Trump University. So as long as Ryan manages to keep that kind of independence and keeps that separation on the issues and on the style and on the way that Trump handles himself during the campaign, I think that Ryan still maintains his stature within the Republican Party. It's a narrow tightrope, but somebody's got to walk it, and I think Ryan can.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Mary on the line with us in Waukesha. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted to say that I'm very disappointed in Paul Ryan, because I think he's putting party before he's putting the country, and I just think that's wrong. I've been a Republican most of my life. I was raised a Republican. My father and mother were Republicans, and I am just so disgusted. I just don't think I can vote. He just scares the living daylights out of me. He has said nothing of substance. I keep reading about Trump University and these poor kids getting swindled out of their money. I don't know what to say about this man except he scares me, and I don't like Hillary either, so I don't know. There's nobody for me to vote for.
Mary, thanks a lot for calling and sharing that. Mary is at loose ends. She doesn't like Trump, even though she identifies as a Republican, doesn't like Hillary Clinton, thinking about not voting. What do you think about a voter like that who I'm sure, as we've been hearing, James is not alone?
Well, Mary, I'm with you. there will be, there's the Libertarian candidate. David French is thinking about running as an independent candidate. So at least there's room for a protest vote. I understand the frustration. I get it entirely. As I said to somebody else earlier today, it's as if the adults have walked out of the room and have let the Democrats and the Republicans dominate the children to try to run the place. And I sympathize with her entirely on this.
Mary, appreciate that. And Christian Snyder has a pretty blistering opinion piece about Paul Ryan endorsing Donald Trump in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And do you think this is the kind of voice, Mary, Christian Snyder's, that will eventually taper off as we get closer to the general election? Or do you think it will, I don't know, maybe grow?
I think in the case, I can't speak for Christian. I can only speak for myself, and certainly from what I heard from Mary today. I think that for some people, Donald Trump just will never be palatable. I saw an interesting poll the other day. It showed that there's 9% of the public just don't even know who they can't even vote for either party's candidate. And so they're just looking for something else, or they're not going to vote at all. And I think that those people, and I find myself very sympathetic to them, are just unmovable on whether or not they're going to ever support Trump. I don't think that's going to change the closer you get to November. I think the intensity of the group of people that aren't going to vote for Donald Trump and aren't going to vote for Hillary is just going to grow.
We're speaking right now with columnist James Wigderson about Paul Ryan's announcement yesterday saying he will, in the end, vote for presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you a Republican who's excited that Paul Ryan has ultimately stood behind Donald Trump? Are you glad Donald Trump is, at least presumably at this point, the nominee? Or are you part of the Never Trump movement that made a big showing here in Wisconsin and then fizzled elsewhere? Are you staying there? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll take your calls when we come back with James Wigderson. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation now about U.S. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan's ultimate decision to support presumptive GOP candidate Donald Trump. And Ryan announced he decided yesterday in the Janesville Press Gazette, weeks after originally telling CNN that he wasn't quite ready to stand behind Trump.
We want to hear from you. Do you think Paul Ryan made the right decision supporting Donald Trump? Do you think he should have supported Trump as soon as he became the front runner? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Were you on one side or the other of the Never Trump movement here in Wisconsin in the primaries? What do you think now? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
James Wigderson stays with us. He's a weekly columnist for the Waukesha Freeman, a reporter for Watchdog.org, and a contributor to Right Wisconsin and the MacIver Institute. And James, now that Paul Ryan has lined up behind Donald Trump, how do you see this affecting down-ballot races, Senate races, House races, now that there doesn't seem to be any sort of division between the two anymore?
Well, I think that the Democrats are going to tar every single Republican candidate with Donald Trump anyhow. The Democrats, in fact, in Wisconsin have already announced that they're going to be talking about Donald Trump practically more than their own candidates this weekend at their state convention. And I don't think that it changes the equation too much whether or not Ryan endorsed Donald Trump or not. I just think it became a bigger story than whether or not there was anything to gain policy-wise for Ryan.
Going to go to our callers now. We've got Sam on the line joining us from Oshkosh. Sam, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What did you want to share?
I'm a Wisconsin Republican, and I just really can't see myself voting for Trump. There's a few reasons for that. First being, actually, and I mean, at least among the people I speak to, I don't hear this talked about a whole lot, but I just don't feel like he's qualified. He's never held office. What does he know about government, really? And then second being, I just feel like he'd be detrimental to our relationships with other countries. He seems to be pretty good at, really upsetting other people. He seems fairly ignorant, and I just think in the long run, a vote for Trump and, having him in the Oval Office would be pretty poor for our country and for our situation.
Now, Sam, Paul Ryan said that by supporting Trump, he was doing what he thought was best for the country, in that he was preventing four more years, maybe eight more years of progressive liberal government. What do you say to that in terms of you voting or not voting for Donald Trump?
Yeah, I see his point, absolutely. And I think really the problem here is that we let it get to this point that we ended up with, a presumptive nominee like Trump. I guess at this point it is sort of frustrating. It's hard to move forward and decide what to do. I actually still haven't decided if I'm going to vote or not. I really need to do a little more research, I think, on Hillary. I just, like I said, it's a tough call to make, but I know for sure that I can't be voting for Trump. And, I don't know. It's a frustrating situation, I think, for a lot of Republicans.
Sam, appreciate you calling. Thank you. And James, there's Sam adding his voice to Mary, sounding similar there. What do you say to Sam?
Well, I understand where Sam's coming from entirely. I think, though, when you're looking at it from Paul Ryan's point of view, you're looking at a Supreme Court, you're looking at the amount of legislation that has been stalled because Obama's in office, and the Republicans just can't get something past his desk. When you factor that in, Ryan's looking at it from an institutional point of view, whereas, you know, somebody like Sam is looking at it from, he looks at Donald Trump and he just says, there's no way I can trust that guy. And it's hard to argue with that position.
Sam, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go next to Bill joining us in Eau Claire. Hi, Bill.
Hello. Hello?
Hi, yeah. What did you want to share with us, Bill?
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of people have got a lot of different things to say about the candidates. And first and foremost, I mean, you know, I think that what needs to really be taken care of are our vets, because our vets have been ignored for years and years and years. And, you know, that's how we remain, keep our freedom, is from our vets fighting the fight. And everybody, you know, mudslinging back and forth, that is doing absolutely no good. My feeling is that it is time for career politicians to step aside, and I believe that Donald Trump is going to be the man for the job. He's going to bring our economy back from where it is.
And Bill, you're concerned about veterans and veterans issues. What did you make of the news this week? The news outlets looking into claims of Donald Trump, how much he raised for veterans group, whether he gave them the money, when he gave it to them. It was a rough week for Trump, given that line of inquiry. Did that affect how you feel about Donald Trump?
No, it does not. I just think that you can read news articles that have been written all over the place. I mean, the man's given, you know, given money to people and never said a word to anybody about it. I mean, I do believe that the media has just turned around and made this great big hypocrisy over the whole situation.
And Bill, thanks a lot for that call. Breaking up a little there. And in terms of, you know, the lesser of two evils argument that Bill was getting at there, let's hear a little bit about what Paul Ryan had to say to that point.
We obviously have a different kind of style and tone. That's very clear. Anybody who knows anything about us knows that. But what really ultimately matters is, how best can we make sure that these principles and policies get enacted in 2017?
And Ryan there, looking at the big picture, James, wanting to talk about the Republican agenda that he wants passed in 2017. Do you think that a lot of Republicans who might be unclear about who they want to vote for will decide, you know, Trump is the way to go to get these policies through?
Well, I think that you saw that once that Trump had secured the nomination, that you had a number of Republicans come home, including a number of people that had previously said never Trump. Turned out they didn't quite mean it. People like former Texas Governor Rick Perry, who said all sorts of things about Donald Trump. And then once Donald Trump became the nominee, suddenly is finding all these virtues in Donald Trump's character. I do think, though, that there's just a segment of the population, and you've heard it from a couple of your callers today, that are just not comfortable with the idea of Donald Trump being anywhere near the nuclear football or managing our country's foreign policy. And I think that Hillary Clinton, by quoting Donald Trump, spoke to a lot of people that are just uncomfortable with the idea of Donald Trump having any sort of decision-making power over our national security.
There's a lot of election left to be run. Donald Trump doesn't even have the formal stamp of approval. I mean, he's going to get it, but it's not there yet. I mean, could he not turn this around in terms of appearing more presidential, doing assuaging the fears of people like Mary from earlier?
I don't think that Donald Trump is capable of doing it, because if he was capable of doing it, he would have seen that behavior before now. And instead, you saw him attacking the governor of New Mexico, who's a Republican governor, popular governor there, Susana Martinez. I just see his behavior over and over again, that he's incapable of of trying to appear presidential. That's just not in his genetic makeup.
Another quick call here. We've got Chris on the line in Waukesha. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I'm from Oconomowoc. I am the lone Democrat in the heart of conservative Republican land. And I talk to my lovely neighbors a lot. Now, one of them has said the word Donald Trump, and I don't bring it up, but there isn't a single sign in anybody's yard in my neighborhood, which is very, very unusual. We're, you know, very political neighborhood, all Republican except me. I was wondering what your guest has in terms of, because he's from the, he's very familiar with our area. What's his observation on our, what are our conservative Republicans in Oconomowoc going to do?
All right, Chris, thanks. And James, we've got about 15 seconds for your response.
Well, I would just point out that Donald Trump's campaign didn't rely on a whole lot of yard signs. They weren't out there distributing a lot of yard signs during the Wisconsin primary here. So that's part of the reason why she's not seeing a lot of Trump yard signs. I think that'll change come October.
All right. We'll keep watching it. James, appreciate you being on with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
That was James Wigderson, weekly columnist for the Waukesha Freeman, a reporter for Watchdog.org, and a contributor to Right Wisconsin and the MacIver Institute. Now, he was with us there to talk about Paul Ryan's recent announcement of support for presumptive GOP nominee Donald Trump.
I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.